Welcome back to the Risky Business Edition.
Nice reference.
Yes, thank you. Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. It is a delight to have you with us on this fine Friday morning. Finally, the rain has stopped and it is a beautiful day, so we will take it.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, we'll take it. Good morning. Let me introduce the panel to you so you know who we all are. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, Alan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
All right. And the call and delayed response, yes. Wait for it, Ray. Good morning, Ray Graff.
Yeah.
And to investigative journalist and Albany professor at, or university at Albany professor, I should say, professor of journalism, Rosemary. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. All right. A lot to talk about. And, you know, I was thinking of where we should start today. And I thought maybe we would just start where we ended yesterday,
where
we left off, which is over the execution. So now there's more information coming out.
More stuff coming out. It gets worse and worse, doesn't it?
It does. And so, first of all, we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. That's quite a scowl on your face, right? You all right? Is your collating?
Oh, no, I've got it now. Yes, okay, all the papers are in order. Now I know where I am here.
All right. So early on the morning of Clayton Lockett's scheduled execution, he defied prison officers seeking to shackle him for the required walk to get x-rays. So they shocked him with a taser. Oklahoma's chief of corrections stated in an account release Thursday of Mr. Lockett's final day before his execution went awry. Once he was in the examining room, the staff discovered that he had slashed his own arm. Mm-hmm. A physician assistant determined that the sutures would not be needed. Hours later, on that Tuesday at 6 p.m., time for his lethal injection, Mr. Lockett was on the gurney in the execution chamber, and then finding a suitable vein and placing an IV line took 51 minutes. A medical technician searched both of his arms, both of his legs, both of his feet for a vein in which to insert the needle, but no viable point of entry was located, according to the corrections chief Robert Patton in a letter to the governor, Mary Fallon. A catheter was inserted into Mr. Lockett's groin, and officials placed a sheet over him for privacy. The account did not make clear who inserted the catheter. The Department of Corrections provided the newly detailed account as it reels from questions about its execution procedures and training of personnel, as well as its secret sources of lethal drugs. So this is sort of the pre-timeline to the final moments, the frantic scene that unfolded after they thought he would die. He did not. And then suffered a heart attack 45 minutes later. The White House has weighed in. There is several investigations underway into this, and obviously the thoughts of just the overall policy of lethal injection and capital punishment being questioned this morning. What does this new information add to it for you?
You're looking at me. What it adds to is that if I don't believe in the death penalty at all, I don't think I'm the only one on the panel who feels that way. I never find it justified. But if you're going to be in the business of killing, you got to do it right. This is far from right. We make fun of the Saudis who execute by chopping off the head with a sword. That would be far better than what happened here. The taser is ridiculous. There's also some dispute now over the claim that it didn't work because the vein collapsed. Doctors are saying, no, they had to have been using a femoral artery and femoral whatever, and that they don't collapse. This was just some poor doctoring that went on. Terrible. I would love to see this be the impetus to end lethal injection. I don't think that's going to happen. I think there'll be a whole bunch of new regulations. Ridiculous that it came to this, that you have to demand of legislation to make the rules better.
There's an interesting quote here in the New York Times a little later on. David Dow, a death penalty appellate lawyer, said it quite nicely. For a state that executes people, they're awfully bad at it.
That's exactly right. That does sum it up.
Which brings to the question, Alan, of, you know, should a state be good at it?
You know, I find the levels of argumentation here are interesting. There are those of us who really believe in the end that there shouldn't be a death penalty, not because this guy wasn't a heinous and awful fellow, but because there have been, as Rosemary said yesterday, too many executions of people we found out were not guilty later on.
Right.
And so therefore, I'm all for, you know, being tough on them. Putting them in a cell, being very, you know, and saying, okay, you know, lifetime, you took my kid, you took my mother, whatever, you stay in that cell and don't come back to us, you know, 30 years later and say I'm a reformed fellow because I don't believe in it. I just think that's the way it has to be. So, but in terms of the way it's done, I think everybody can agree. It's just awful that they can't get it right, and as I said yesterday, the vet can do it, but apparently not the prison officials.
When you think about, I guess I'm curious as to the long term impact of this. Rosemary, you had expressed that you hope that there is some positive outcome as far as our thoughts when it comes to this issue. Do you think there will be?
I am skeptical. There are only, let's see, 5 states and the federal government have banned all executions. The rest of the states have it, and they've been playing around for some time with the method that's the most humane. I don't know how they figured on lethal injection. I don't even like to get injections when I know it's going to help. I got a shot in the back this past week. Alan, you get those, you know, too. And I know that they are good for me. And I, 51 minutes messing around, finding a vein, oh, my God, that's torture right there. This is just, it's awful. So I hope that they'll reconsider the method. And if they stick with lethal injection, to make sure they can get enough drugs from a legitimate source. That's the real problem here. The drug that actually works in lethal injections is no longer made in the United States and cannot be imported because other countries find us so inhumane they don't want to supply the drugs to help us to carry out these killings.
And the companies that were providing the drugs in the past stopped producing because they didn't want to be a part of it. And we got a letter yesterday, and I promised myself that I would try to do some research, and I will admit to you that I didn't do my homework, which is the question was, what was wrong? Like, why did we move away from the electric chair? Completely.
Yeah, because for the same reason, there had been a series, as we're now seeing in lethal injections, of botched executions. People were burned. Mm. People were not killed instantly.
Yeah.
There were these
long periods.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so we moved away. Yeah.
And well, this was supposed to be more humane.
I don't know if it was Rosemary or Rex, or I should say not Rex, but Rosemary or Ira yesterday who said, you know, is it more humane to shoot them?
I said that. Firing squads work. You know,
if you have a death penalty,
sometimes,
that's a certain fast.
No, sometimes they work.
The swords in the neck work too. The Saudis have pretty high success. But I mean, I find this whole thing incredibly ghoulish. We're in the business of killing efficiently. Jeez.
Well, okay. If there is in fact a death penalty, which there is at this time, and I think the danger in this conversation is to suddenly make this guy seem like a victim. You know what he did,
right?
You know what he did, right?
Right. Clarence Page wrote an interesting column about he's not a death penalty advocate either. But if you are, he says, how can you be upset about this? You tortured him. You made him suffer at the end, not unlike what he did to his own victim, a 19-year-old woman who he
shot and buried alive,
sexually assaulted. It was horrifying.
And let's not forget the 11-month-old.
I think that was the other guy there was a second execution scheduled.
Oh, that's right.
For the same night, and they postponed that because of the problems with their first execution.
Thank God.
Yeah, actually.
So, I mean, one of my thoughts is that if you have this policy and you use it, and the uniformity of it has always bothered me.
Absolutely.
You know, to your point, Ray, you can never take away what he did to the woman, and the horrible crimes. Alan mentioned this earlier. But is this the way to, quote unquote, punish those of us who are the worst of our society?
Matt checked in Joe Matt Pick checked in from Rhinebeck and said, I want to add my voice to the chorus who believe that even one wrongfully executed life negates any believed societal benefit of capital punishment. It's got to stop, said Matt.
But I think, but also it's to people who are against the death penalty, certainly an argument is that often people who are not guilty die. How often, question mark, but still. But then there's people who just don't believe, and I would fall into this camp of just don't believe that it should be part of the system.
The repertoire. I agree with both of those, but to get back to Max's letter, which I think is a good one, we have a justice system that goes overboard to find the innocent. We let many guilty people go from our court system because we're much more concerned with making sure the innocent are not found guilty. You know, one guilty man goes, you can live with it. And yet, death penalty negates all of that. You know, there's always that chance of mistake, but you kill the guy and then you find your mistake later. There's no remedy at all. It's just, our justice system, I think, is at odds with our system of punishment.
I mean, is it just me?
And yet, what?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one thing, Joe, and that is, and yet there are those who think that the worst part of this is what you guys have just mentioned, that it unfairly falls on some people.
Yep.
People of color, for example.
Men rather than women.
That in fact it is not fairly delivered. And that seems to be the one thing that has given pause to several justices on the Supreme Court who otherwise might be in the other corner.
Mm-hmm. The mistakes have also had a huge impact on the state level. They've at least delayed executions. They've taken kind of the continuance from them that Oklahoma's in right now, where they study it and try to figure out what's going on. But there still is. Even the polls show that most people in this country favor execution.
I don't know if any of you are Game of Thrones fans.
Oh,
but,
yes.
But in watching that show and seeing sort of the barbaric torture and so forth. And here we are in 2014,
right.
And we have this situation. And it's like, okay, why can't we figure this out?
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
To me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and let's take a quick break. We'll be back, and then we'll do a quick summary, and then we'll go to a news break. We'll be back after the short.
Support for WAMC comes from InTerm Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, InTermHealthcare.com. And Kenco Work and Play Outfitters, Route 28 Kingston, presenting Trail Fest 2014 with demos on hiking, fly fishing, backpacking, conservation, and mountain sports, exhibits by manufacturers and local nature organizations, Saturday, May 10th from 10 to 4, atkenco.com.
Just about 2 minutes before we go over to a news break, and plenty of time to find out what's in the mailbag. Alan?
Okay, so Stephen says, folks, if you look at the crime for which Lockett was convicted, you'll likely be equally horrified. He beat, shot, and when the gunshot wound didn't kill her, he buried her alive and left her to die. Now we hear a great hue and cry over the suffering of this heinous criminal. Where is the remembrance of the suffering of this victim through which he earned his fate? He deserves death. Who can be sympathetic towards such a monster? And I agree with what I just heard. Firing squads work. Steve, well, let me be the first to say, I don't think anybody on this panel has said we weren't horrified by what this person did.
No, we made the point several times.
But animals are better. Awful, just awful. And I can well agree with Stephen that it was horrible and he deserves the worst in what we can offer. But there's that. Okay, let's go to Maggie.
Actually, he got the worst we could offer. I'm not sure he did deserve that. The state is not a criminal.
I don't know, Rosemary. I don't know if the worst we can offer is sitting in a cell with bars, as Mario Cuomo used to say, just hearing the sound of his toilet seat going up and down for the rest of his life, whether that isn't a worse punishment. Anyway,
sure.
Papa Cuomo thought so. And Maggie said, any competent and competent vet can euthanize an animal quickly and painlessly. What is so different from Maggie? And I love Maggie. And I got to tell you, she's right. And I said the same thing. How come you can, the vet can put your dog down?
I think that's a medical question. Suffering. A human is much bigger. Many more drugs are required. I think vets would have trouble with humans, too.
Rosemary, there's some big dogs, very big dogs. Okay, and then we heard from Jeremy, who said, one, this panel is too bright to waste time on this awful issue. Please move on soon.
Agreed.
Two, the inhumaneness of a botched lethal injection job is exactly on par with the inhumaneness of our prison system. So what's the problem? Have a great day. Jer in Kerhonkson.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with the topics of the day. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our program this morning. We have lots of other issues to get to, but I know, Alan, you have a lot of letters to get to, and we'll do that quick, and then we'll move on to our other topics.
Chris makes a very good point. Playing devil's advocate, who's to say there haven't been any botched instances of euthanasia? It wouldn't even be reported. No, that's true. I think that's a very good point. You know, animals probably have had, they probably had problems with animals too. Carrie says, can you call one of your medical experts and finally answer this question? Why is killing someone with an lethal injection so hard? I recently had wrist surgery and was indeed out in 5 seconds. They typically incubate to provide oxygen. I'm guessing if this wasn't done, someone would die. I'm sure others want to understand this. And let's see. And I guess that is... This is a remainder of the late Justice Harry Blackmun's declaration that he would, quote, no longer tinker with the machinery of death. The European drug companies, I believe, stopped sending the drugs because they objected to use and execution full stop, regardless of the relative humaneness of the machinery gears, and that's from Kenner.
All right.
It isn't.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
In other countries, the person who has a terminal illness can receive injections for sleep that is forever. In other words, an overdose. And that does seem to be it. Joe, do you have any more that I don't see?
There was the one you sent from Joanne.
I don't see. Oh, yeah, there it is. Execution. In my opinion, anything that requires intelligence or skill to accomplish can and will be botched. Therefore, the French have a word for it. Guillotine.
All right. So we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us move on to other subjects, because there certainly are other things to discuss on this Friday morning. Let's go to them. This is an interesting story, and I know Rosemary has read a lot on this as well, and the local connection. The Obama administration on Thursday released the names of 55 colleges and universities under investigation for their handling of sexual assault complaints, an unusual step meant to increase pressure on the institutions to crack down on the problem on their campuses. This has been something mm-hmm. that has been floated for the last couple of days, that this would mm-hmm. be done by the White House. But the actual naming of names and colleges coming out, and as you point out, Rosemary, in a note you sent me an article, four in New York.
Right. There's including SUNY Binghamton, Hunter College, which is a City of New York university, and then a couple of private ones. It's a universal problem, and it isn't, of course, just college campuses. The problem of assault on women has been very prominent in the military, and this is part of a continuing campaign to get major institutions like our military and the colleges to pay attention to this. Women do not report these crimes in shocking numbers, and if they do, there's an attempt by these institutions to quiet it down, to just like kind of settle it without making a big deal about it, because it makes them look bad. So I think this is a wonderful first step in making this a situation that we're all responsible for and we're going to do something about.
Dartmouth, Harvard, Princeton, Boston University, University of Chicago, Swarthmore, University of Southern California, Florida State, the University of Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. This was a very large list of some of the top schools right. in this country. Do you think it's fair? Because a lot, I, I was trying to find like exact criteria of what got you on the list, because I would assume there are a lot of schools that have an issue that were not named that right. As you say, it's a universal problem.
It looked to me sort of like publicity, like Harvard, for example, right. Had a number of very high-profile cases that were very badly mishandled. And partly because they're elite and Ivy League schools, they got a lot of attention. Princeton, also right. Another one. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you're going to investigate 55 of them and they're prominent, they're a mix of private and public, you're going to get the message across, I should think, to everyone. Like I say, I think this is a great first step.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, getting the message across is very important, and I couldn't agree with you more. We have an ad about my strength. We don't have ads, but an underwriting announcement about my strength is not for hurting.
Right.
Very important and important. But there is always the risk in each of these things of a fallout that is unintended. In other words, an unintended consequence. If you read about Joseph, I believe, in the Bible, and you see false accusations, that kind of thing. So the one thing that you worry about is that this is done correctly and right, so that no one who is accused is automatically, basically out. So I know that there may be people who are listening who don't agree with that, but it seems to me that people have been accused who have been found out, just as in the death penalty issue we were just discussing, who didn't do it and who somebody had a vengeance motive with.
But isn't that part of following up? In other words, the government wants them to follow up better. So if they follow up better, isn't then what you say that may happen in some cases more likely to happen?
There's a story out today, Alan, that pertains to what you're saying. The military is reporting a huge increase in the number of reported sexual assaults. This is followed efforts by Claire McCluskey and Kristen Gillibrand to make it easier to report these crimes. The Army has been careful to say this doesn't mean there's an increase in the crime. This has always been the level of crime. We're just hearing about them more. I'm the mother of sons. I have a great fear when I've been a reporter about men being falsely accused of rape or sexual assault. It's terrible. Just being accused of it does the damage. Just, you don't even have to be convicted.
Sure.
However, the evidence is overwhelming that the cases are underreported. Women don't even bother because they know they won't get anywhere. We don't get to the level of an investigation to find out whether the guy actually did it or not. That has to stop. That's not the case with other crimes.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, you're right. So what you do is you create a social policy or a criminal justice policy, but you have to be aware of the potential for somebody, as the mother of sons, as you say, accusing one of your sons or any of our sons of having done something that they didn't do because somebody got angry.
Right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue and hit a couple more topics on our to-do list for this morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. See a lot of mail coming in, so we would like to get to those letters as well, and we'll do all of that after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, Troy, New York, featuring local producer-only foods and products every day, Saturday from 9 to 2 in downtown Troy, troymarket.org. New York Pain Management, Doctors Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung, offering management of chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting in Clifton Park and Glens Falls, 518-371-0777. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org.
Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. Welcome back. We have Rosemary Armeo, Ray Graff, and Alan Chartok, and we have your letters as well, and then we have a couple more topics to discuss. Alan, go.
Okay, people want to check in on the death penalty. John says, performing human executions had nothing, in quotes, to do with sympathy, in quotes, for the criminal. It's to protect us from ourselves and becoming monstrous ourselves. By the way, why do we need to genuflect to the obvious? The proper response is, but did this guy do monstrous stuff? Is, well, duh, of course he did monstrous stuff. He wouldn't be on death row otherwise. Duh, why do you need Alan and the rest of us to keep stating the obvious to you? Well, somehow, John, just answering back, is that somehow we still have we still have a death penalty. That's why. And then Sarah says, another factor regarding the botched injection new policy procedures moving forward should be the impact on those responsible for carrying out the execution in whatever it takes. And then from
That's true. That's why firing squads were eliminated because of the horror of being the person who did it.
Right, and that's why there would be seven people on the firing line and only one would have a live shell.
Correct.
So no one would really know. Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah, yeah. And then John, there's a death for vengeance and death. There is death for vengeance and death is a policy by the state. I can't say I'd be able to control my vengeance in every case. I agree with that, by the way. But I don't think that vengeance should be our public policy. Many seem to be confusing the justification involved, and that's John. And Jim says, executions, the long wars in Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, etc., the rule of the wealthy, guns everywhere. 30 to 40% of Americans believe that the earth is 10,000 years old. Poverty, archaic health, etc., etc., all signs of a second-rate country, he says.
Oh, my God, I'm so depressed listening to this.
Yeah. Maybe it's time for the writer to move.
To where, Mars?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
No, that's Ray and Love It or Leave It, right?
Well, I mean, if it's second rate, find a first rate and write us when you get there.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Belgium.
That's what I got, Joe. Did you find?
No, I think you got them all. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. I did want to touch on this topic, Sinn Féin and the fallout.
Great story.
Jerry Adams, who has been a frequent, four times, so I guess that would be a frequent guest on this program, has sat in the very chair that you're sitting in now, Rosemary. When he became president of Sinn Féin more than three decades ago, the party was regarded as an irrelevant apologist for the Irish Republican Army atrocities. Now it chairs power in Northern Ireland's parliament and in the Republic of Ireland. It is riding high in the polls ahead of local and European elections this month. Although Mr. Adams, Jerry Adams, was arrested and detained on Wednesday morning in connection with the 1972 abduction of Jean McConville, a widowed mother of 10, whose killing is considered among the most emotive and heinous atrocities of the Northern Ireland conflict. And so obviously the ghosts of that time continue to haunt him. Unsurprisingly, his political opponents have wasted little time in attacking his credibility. So I've been trying to find as much as I can, and maybe, Rosemary, you can help in this, of why now... To come after this 1972 crime.
This is an utterly fascinating story. I knew nothing about this. This is why I love being in news. You know, it's better than fiction. An amazing case, a mother of 10. How she got accused of being a spy is interesting. She supposedly spied on Sinn Féin and rebel activity to the British. It's really because she was a Protestant living in a Catholic area. She was targeted that way. So how did they connect her to this very now prominent politician? Why now? His opponents say it's to stop his efforts to continue to have a high-profile case. How do they get the evidence is what's most interesting to me. It came from a cache of oral histories done by Boston University. Boston University used a lawyer and promised anybody who talked about the Irish, the Troubles, kind of immunity. Nothing would ever get out. This would not be used against them in their lifetime. And they talked. They have like almost 30 people who talked. The government of the UK goes after this information. We have very good ties with the UK. We get lots of information from them on terrorists. So the U.S. government hands over the Boston College cache of information. And that's where this indictment or whatever, it's not really a charge yet, but that's where the questioning has come from Boston College, which is scary if you're if you believe in academic freedom. It has implications for our relations with Great Britain. Fascinating case. I don't know where it's going to end up.
And then there's also just the overall issue of the timing of it on the weeks before the
to
election.
To hurt
the election, right. Yeah. Alan, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I hope our news division is going to call Richie Neal, who is Congressman Richie Neal, who is the most educated person on this that I know. I mean, he was largely responsible with Bill Clinton for bringing about, you know, the resolution to all of this, which is one of the great miracles in the world. The fact that
peace in Northern Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And believe me, once you get into this, the Troubles, you can this thing will unravel forever on both sides. So the real question is, following Mandela, whether there should be reconciliation now, or whether you're going to start holding people responsible in a way that will just start it all up again. I mean, it's to me, I'm not saying what I think should happen, but I think that those are all issues in this, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I also find it interesting that Adams wasn't, arrested. They didn't grab him and handcuff him. He turned himself in and has professed his innocence. He said, I definitely was involved with that organization. I've never denied it. I never will. But I didn't have anything to do with this. So that I find an interesting.
Case.
Yeah, I don't know if it's persuasive or not. He's a politician. He has to stay that. The cast of characters is interesting in this. When he was a senator in Massachusetts, John Kerry fought against releasing the evidence, the information from Boston College.
Right.
Now he's the Secretary of State. He's really overseeing the transfer of that information. It's and on every level, this is an amazing story. The woman's 10 children have been active in trying to get out the truth about what happened to their mother. It's hard not to sympathize with that as well. But you're right. Without reconciliation, you could just like fall back into all those troubles again.
But you can't.
Certainly, it's not resolved.
And so quickly.
Now that the cat's out of the bag, you can't sweep it under the rug, however.
No.
So what do you do?
Like I said, I don't know on this one. Alan?
I don't know if you're sweeping it under the rug. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think I may have been misunderstood there for a second, and that is that I didn't say that he was persuasive. I said you were persuasive. Rosemary, in terms of your analysis of what's going on here,
I don't think this should ever have come out. You're right. I think this was something truly meant for, you know, historical, for scholarly research in the future, not to come out now, and certainly not in the middle of a campaign. It can't be more badly handled than
even
that.
If he. You know, I'm not saying he was guilty or not guilty, but even if he was guilty of being involved, it shouldn't have come out.
No, not in this way.
Well, you know, Ray makes an interesting point here because, you know, murder is one of those things where there is no statute of limitations in this country, right? I mean, we say this is such a heinous crime that it never goes away. And so when Ray says it shouldn't have come out, there is that. On the other hand, you can sure damage somebody very badly here.
Yeah, I don't even think there's any thought that he actually pulled the trigger, that he did anything. He simply was the head of the organization at the time when this happened and the organization's accused of doing it. And it's also very political. This was an assassination, not just a murder. And yeah, I do think those should be handled differently by authorities. Not sweep it under the table, but not disrupt and destabilize a settlement that was very important for peace in a troubled part of the world.
Boy, you're good this morning. You really are. You are.
I just want to, this is the latest economic news, and we'll kind of end on this. We only have 3 or 4 minutes left. The American economy gained steam in April, adding 288,000 jobs, while the unemployment rate fell to 6.3%, the lowest level since September 2008.
Yay, President Obama.
Good news.
And by the way, I just wanted to. Before we do that, I just wanted clarification from Joanne, who said the oral histories came from Boston College, a Jesuit institution, not Boston University.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you for that correction. Absolutely right. Yeah. Thank
sure,
you.
Sure. Sure.
So is it
okay,
a,
I'm
is
sorry, Joe?
No. So is it a good thing? I mean, are we? Is the, I assume this is only good news, but what do we take it as, Alan?
I was reading the letter and I.
Okay. So the.
I have students who do that, Alan. This is, yeah, unemployment is way low.
Unemployment. What was
the. Oh, yeah, that's terrific. Terrific.
Yay, President
terrific.
Obama.
I wonder if the minority in the Senate and the majority in the House will stand up and say, good for the president.
I haven't seen this report, but is this. Jobs created, or is this just people who are no longer looking for jobs?
They are adding 288,000 jobs, but the good news is tempered by a drop of 806,000 in the number of Americans in the labor force, pushing the labor participation rate down sharply.
It does not matter, because this is the only number we have. It's the only comparison we have. We criticized him when that number, flawed as it is, was going up. Now it has gone down. The only thing to say is good news. So there.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. All right. We have 45 seconds. Anybody want the last word?
Nope.
Yes, uh-oh. Everybody should have a good day.
All right. Have a good day. Don't forget the lockbox, wamc.org.
Oh, yeah.
The lockbox is underway. We got a challenge on the table now, which is very exciting.
Do they know that? Has that been announced?
That has been announced. I heard you announce it
fantastic.
This morning.
There I go again.
They've been running wonderful promos, and on starting on Monday, we'll start giving you an update on our totals and tell you how we're doing. So keep that in mind.
Mr. Big put $25,000 in if we can raise $200,000.
25 large.
You know, basically 25 large. That's a great deal of money. That's really exciting.
So keep that in mind, especially over the weekend. WAMC.org is where you need to go. WAMC.org to find the lockbox. If you want to keep the conversation going on these issues, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can go to that one website and, you know, share your opinions on these issues, help the lockbox.
Have a great weekend, everybody.